Unity can only be found in Christ's body. Unity can only be found in Christ's body. And from that title, we get an understanding of why the enemy attacks the body of Christ in the way that he does, to such a point that it is clearly revealed in the book of Revelation, the harlot. And harlotry is man-made. It is denominational. It is man's feeble attempt at trying to create unity and fellowship and oneness. And it never works. Because Christ's body, the true body of Christ around the world, can only be achieved through the working of the Holy Spirit. He is the builder, and he places his people upon the rock of Jesus Christ. That is its foundation. And we are told that no weapon formed against it will prosper. But nevertheless, the enemy is building a counterfeit. You see, anything that God builds, the enemy tries to copy. But it is a counterfeit. It is not the true thing. It is fake. And that is why God, in his love and grace and mercy, is building this assembly and others who love the Lord. He's doing it by restoring and bringing us back under his headship, and not a man, not a pope, not a vicar or a clergy that is man-made, man-appointed. No, it is through the restoration of God's appointed leaders, ministers that he is raising up through the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4 of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, for the edifying, for the equipping, and for the building up of the body of Christ that it clearly reveals. We know that we have taught, discussed this many, many times. But we're talking today about unity can only be found in Christ's body. And we're going to base this from Psalm 133, and we're going to look at these three verses that the psalmist speaks on. And we'll read this through first, and then we will break it down. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Here we get a glimpse, an understanding of the spirit of unity. It's not a unity of the spirit, it is the spirit of unity. It is the Holy Spirit who baptizes and brings people into unity and fellowship with the Godhead and each other. It is a divine work. You are chosen for this. You are called before the foundation of the world. And our response to this is a clear sign God has called us into fellowship with him, into the Godhead, into the unity and oneness. There's no division that is found in the Godhead. They all agree. They move together. They work together in unity and oneness. And Jesus prayed that priestly prayer in John 17, that as we are one, so they may be one also in us. We will look a bit at that later on. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. You are baptized into this, empowered for this. You are equipped for this, so that we come together in true unity, oneness, and fellowship. It is a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. It can't be done in the natural. This is why you have to be a new creation in Christ, made new, because God sees his reflection in our fellowship. He is seeing himself in us for the blessing. And bear that in mind as we open up on this, because this is all part of restoration of Christ's body functioning again, being built again in these last days. And how does he work this? He works this through us. It's not bricks and mortar. It's not a building on the end of the road with a steeple. That is our idea of church. But that is the harlot. That comes out of Rome. All denominational roads lead to Rome. It's Babylon. It's a counterfeit. And this is why you have to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. That is what it says in 2 Corinthians. And he's doing that work of separation. God was trying to do this work with Israel in the wilderness. He was trying to get Egypt, Babylon again, out of her heart. But she wouldn't have it. She was stiff-necked. And we're told in Hebrews 3, Israel is there as a warning to us. We, as Gentiles, who are now grafted into the vine. And the way God is doing this is by the power of his Spirit. He calls us out. He's called many of you and me out of denomination, whether it's Catholicism, Anglicanism, even the Baptist churches, all of them, they still hold on to denominationalism. It means man in control and not God. And we've all been called away from it by the mercy and grace of God, because had he not done that, we would still be sitting in our pews in bondage. But he's had mercy. And this is why the enemy is working a counterfeit. And how is he doing this now? He's doing this through the ecumenical movement. Denominations, religions, all of them coming together in unity. But it's a false unity. And that's what we're seeing today. Even Zionism is a false unity for Israel. It's political. You see, a lot of what the enemy is doing through religion is politically motivated. God never works that way. He tells us to pray for our governments, to pray for political movements. That's what he asks us to do, because it's a counterfeit. And yet God uses everything, as we know. You see, The world out there, politics out there, sees that there's strength in unity when people agree. Our political parties that are elected, they're elected on the basis of unity, strength. That's how it's done. And they tell all the lies and all the false promises to try and create a unity, an agreement, most of which they never keep. We see dictators who have come up through history. The last strong dictator was Hitler. And look at the power that he had through the powers of darkness to deceive the people and how they believed in him. And look what worked through this man. A huge manifestation of the powers of darkness, ethnic cleansing, getting rid of all Jews. Stalin, Napoleon, just to name a few of them, all trying to create a unity through strength, through power, money, control. But this is all witchcraft at work. And this is why God calls you into spiritual warfare, to war against witchcraft. Because that is what works this. Control. Control is subtle. It's deceiving. Control is an angel of light. Satan controls this world still. But the good news is that Jesus is risen from the dead. He has now taken the keys of Satan and he's now given it back to the house of God, to God's people, to unlock doors. And when you get into spiritual warfare, when you are warring against demonic powers, that is the key unlocking the power of heaven. God's angels going into warfare. He's given the church the authority now to do this. Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, dominions. It is now the church's responsibility, and that gives us the clue why the enemy has tried to divide the body of Christ. Because he knows that when Christ is head over his body, God's people rise up in spiritual warfare against him. He's no fool. Wish to God more Christians' eyes were open to what he's doing or tries to do. Because when we are brought out of denominationalism, out of the harlot, we begin to see God's light then shines. And what does it shine on? Him, the powers of darkness. And God then begins to teach us and equip us what we can do, great exploits through Jesus Christ. What he's now given us through him, his name, the power of the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. He's given us the weapons. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. We're able now by the power of God to unlock and lock. This is what pertains to the kingdom of heaven, which is now in you. And he wants you to inherit now what is in the kingdom of heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why pray that prayer if you don't believe? We're talking about unity can only be found in the body of Christ. This is what builds our unity and oneness. And there are times we have to fight for this. And it's called spiritual warfare. This is why the powers of darkness are trying to destroy family life, marriages. Because there is unity, oneness. It's called common ground. He hates anything, anyone who agrees, that disagrees with the powers of darkness. You see, agreement is a type of contract. We sign contracts, meaning that we agree with what is written on that contract. And we've done exactly the same in our coming to Christ. We have signed, in a sense, a spiritual contract. It's a marriage. It's a covenant. And here is the word of God that tells us that agreement that we've made. And we study the word of God to learn it. And the enemy works exactly the same, but in a counterfeit. And what are we seeing now rising up? With the beast system, the new world order. That is what's coming forth. It's a movement, politically, holding all the world powers. And the only way that the world powers, the commercial powers, the political powers can only be held by a digital world called AI. The Matrix. Robots. They now have the systems in place to control the world. And they call it a common ground. But what's behind it is that you will have to agree with it. Your freedom of choice is being taken away. Because that is a gift that God has given to us. We can choose to follow the Lord or we can choose to reject him. But what we are seeing coming forth now, you have no choice. There will be, by the mark of the beast in Revelation 13, but the consequences of those who do not take it is clearly seen. And we are seeing our movements, our choices, our political views, our religious views are all being controlled. As we go on our phones, on our computers, a profile is built up of each of us now through 5G. It is monitoring, it is reading what you believe, what your political views are, what you spend your money on, what you look at, and so on. It's built a prior profile of each of us for the purpose to control. And all this information that it is getting from you, your movements, where you go, what country you visit, what you buy, everything is making up your profile ready for your mark that you are to receive. It's just part of it. And most of us are blinded to what's going on. But praise God, we're not of this world. We're simply passing through. And praise God, there is going to be a way of escape out of this. It's called the rapture. God always, in his mercy, before judgment falls, there is a warning and a warning. God speaks through the prophets, and then those who adhere, those who obey him, those who come away from this control, he protects and he preserves. And it's right from Genesis to Revelation. And we see that there is going to be again a preservation. It's the rapture. And he will call the first fruits unto himself, the wise virgins, those who are making themselves ready, those who have applied wisdom, who have discerned, who are watching, who are seeing the signs of the times, preparing, allowing the Spirit to make them ready, presentable before Almighty God. They're the ones God will take unto himself before finally the Antichrist comes forth, and he's going to come forth with great vengeance and wrath because he knows his time is almost up. As I've said so many times, you do not want to be around or left behind. Let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And this is going to be done through unity, which is found in the body of Christ. Because this is where it is spoken. This is where we are taught. This is where we are equipped. We are made ready. God does nothing outside his body. The doorway into the kingdom of God is set in the body of Christ. It is our proclamation. It is our message, our teaching. He's empowered the body where two or three are gathered together in his name. He's empowered his body to prepare you, to build you, to equip you, to provide for you, to speak to you, to help you, to encourage you, as we do it to each other as well, as we pray one for another. And so it goes on. Are you beginning to see now why this is so important? And how the enemy tries to get us out of this? Because he knows this is where the power lies, where two or three are gathered together in his name, as his word says. Because there's always strength in unity. And history reveals this. This is why we have the book of Acts. It's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. They were in unity, in fellowship and oneness. And look how God turned the world upside down because of this. And the only unity that will ever stand is to be found in Christ's body. All the rest will fall and fail. It will. The new world order, the beast system will fail. And the baptism brings this about in our unity and oneness. And this is why Satan always tries to attack us. In the most subtle ways that he does. What does it say in Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3 that you know very well. Endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It means that we have to work at it. It means at times it's a sacrifice. It means at times, oh, I don't feel like going to fellowship. Oh, I can't be bothered going today. We have to crucify all of that. Your presence, my presence, enables God to prepare us, to build us up in the faith and unity, to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. It's not going to happen when we choose to fellowship and when not to fellowship. If we're taking up our cross daily and following the Lord, there's no question. It's not a debate. I know where God wants me to be. I can only do what I do because of the cross that I bear each day and its marks. It's not a choice. It's not whether I decide I want to or I don't want to. It's what the Spirit says, and it's Him that works it through us. It's in our weakness He makes us strong. This fellowship can only stand because of our weakness in which He makes us strong. It's not about what I choose or what I decide. I am baptized into this by the Spirit, by the will of God. I could choose many places to go and fellowship if I had the choice in my flesh. But that is not the will of God. And we live for the will of God to be accomplished in and through us. Jesus had to yield to the will of God to make it to Calvary and to go to the cross in order that we, you and I, can have salvation and fellowship now in Him and with each other. We do the will of the Father, and we don't always like it in our flesh, because His ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts. Don't ever try and understand God's ways. He won't. They never make any sense. But they are revelation sense. And when He opens your ears and eyes, then you see, then you begin to understand the wisdom and mind of God. Who can search his mind? Who knows His ways? We don't, unless it's revealed to us. And it comes as we stop resisting and yield to the Spirit and let Him do it. You see, what is so wonderful, brothers and sisters, think about this. Even take this before the Lord. You're here today, I'm here today, that God builds His body through you and me. You are part of His building. Whether you're a hand, a foot, an eye, an arm, you are all part of that. Some of you are an arm. Some of you are a hand. Some of you are an eye. Some of you are a foot. Whatever it is, that's what you are. Because the body of Christ is an organism. It's not an organization. 1 Corinthians 12. And He builds that through us. Our very fellowship, our very coming together is Him building through us. Don't try and work it out. They're the mysteries and the mind of God. But He knows. Because we're offering up spiritual worship and sacrifice. And that is why when we worship God in spirit and in truth, He doesn't see male, He doesn't see female, He doesn't see Greek, He doesn't see bond, He doesn't see Asian, He doesn't see a white, He doesn't see black. He sees this offering as a spiritual offering in His presence. That is what it's about. In unity and oneness, glorifying Him. And this is why we have to be loving and caring and patient with each other. Because of this work, this process that is going on, you see. Because we know this cannot be built in a day. It is a lifelong walk. And if the Lord tarries, then this work which he has begun, the fruit that's behind all of this work, his body continues to go on because it stands to each generation. Yes, it's a remnant, but it stands. So going back then to Psalm 133, he says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." He says it's good. It's good. It's translated, in other words, it's a great delight. It's good pleasure unto the Lord. And he says, you wish to be with people whom you like. That's why we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you see that in the world. You see where people come together because they have things in common. Or they like that person, or they like their personality, or they like their education, or whatever it is. That's how the world sees unity, but not us. We come together by the Spirit of God because we are his family. He's our Father. And this can only be for brethren, for the saints. This isn't for the world. That's why the world isn't joining us. And it says, how good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. This means to, in the Hebrew, to remain, to stay with it. That's what it means. It means for brethren to remain, to endure, to stay with it together in unity. And that's what it means. And so we stay with it. We allow the Spirit to build through each of us. That's why you are so vital, so important. Doesn't matter what you are. Whether you're a toe or an arm or whatever it would be. You are of value. And the value is he is building his body through you. And he's not made a mistake. And then it goes on in verse 2. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. And so these verses, in a sense, are symbolic. It's meaning about fellowship, the oil of the priest that was anointed. It was a fragrant oil, which was a sign of calling and separation and God's blessing on the office. So he says, for those who dwell in unity, those who are called to this, baptized in the body of Christ, he says, you are anointed for this. And this anointing runs from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, not just the fivefold ministry, not just the pastor or the apostle or prophet. No, we're all a royal priesthood, the Bible says. And he says, you are anointed for Christ's body to offer up spiritual praise and worship and thanks. In other words, you could say, I have been anointed, set in this church to function. And it comes up before him like a fragrance, pleasing in his sight. That is my office, the same as the priests, the Aaronic priesthood in Exodus 30, were anointed, set apart to offer up the offerings, the lambs and the animals slain, to cover sin, to atone. That was what their office was set apart for. Exactly the same for you and for me. Of course, the atoning was for a religious purpose, but we now have been atoned. Our sin is now forgiven. Our sin is cast away as far as the east is to the west, but we're still priests in office, and we still supplicate before God. We, if you like, when we confess, when we bring people before God, when we pray for our loved ones, we pray for our family, we pray the prayer of faith, we're like priests, we're atoning before the mercy seat of God. You're standing in between your rebellious son or daughter or family, husband, wife. I'm doing the office of a priest spiritually now. Are you beginning to see this now, brothers and sisters? You are the ones that function. You are the ones that are anointed for this. And you come together in fellowship and oneness. And this oil of anointing is from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In other words, it's covered you completely. You are totally submersed in your calling and office. That's what it's meaning. You're consecrated to this. And what is this consecration? You are set apart in Christ's body, baptized into it. In this case, it's an FGA. That's what it means. And that's why fellowship and unity can only be anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that has done this and is doing this, that we function in it. And finally, in verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. Hallelujah. Just read that. Hermon was a region of high mountains to the north of Israel, and much water was to be found there, and moisture in the land, because a lot of Israel is like desert, particularly in the summer. But it's a sign of God's blessing on us. Life. What is this water that is to be found? It's in the word of God that washes us and cleanses us. And it commands blessing and life upon us forevermore. That is the nature of the word of God. As you're listening to this and receiving this by faith, it's the Spirit commanding life forevermore upon you and I. How can we ever walk away from something like that? Fellowship sets us for heaven. The question is, do we want that? That's the question. For the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. God commanded and spoke it into being. FGA and other assemblies around the world who are now pressing on into the deeper life, who do not want man as head, but coming back under the headship of Jesus Christ. God commanded it into being to give you life forevermore. Look at the mercy of God. That is what our fellowship is about, brothers and sisters. Treasure it. It's a blessing. Pray for the church. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for FGA. Pray one for another. Because unity can only be found in Christ's body.